invite you to stand and turn to page 183 in your hymnal. Page 183, let's stand together. Oh, how I love Jesus. Page 183.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of the Savior's love. He died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
On the last,
it tells of one who's loved.
Let's try page 180, if you'd flip right over there. Page 180, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Full of wonder, let's sing about it. Page 180.
There'll never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory. Just to save a simple soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away. Saving, keeping love, it was the founding. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
On the last,
love beyond our human comprehension. Love of God and Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending. Great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord's blessing tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Young, would you mind, Brother Young, to pray for us tonight? And how many have a burden or need? You lift up your hand. And I think we need to pray for our country on this Sunday night before the election. And whatever comes, we'll just trust the Lord through it. Amen. And I know we've been praying for several folks here in our church and church family. I want to continue praying for them. I want to ask you to pray this evening, if you would, too, for the Adkins family. Had that funeral today, and just ask the Lord to be with all those folks, if you would, tonight. Anybody have one you'd like for us to remember as we open up tonight? Anybody at all? Cameron, you have one, buddy? You love your family? Hey, that's worth hearing tonight. Amen? That's worth hearing. You come to church tonight, ain't nothing like your family now. What a blessing that is. Amen. I'm glad he raised his hand. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request, or how many love your family tonight? Made me feel bad. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Brother Young, if you would.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be in your house this evening.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, precious blood shed on the cross, our sins. Lord, we thank you for our church house that you've given us today.
Yes, amen.
The people that gathered here this evening would ask your blessings on each one of those. Lord, for this gift of pastors to bring the message, pray the gift of this offering, pray that we please you with our service this evening. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm gonna get right to the message. If you'll tell Sister Carol, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Folks, I'd like to start right into the message tonight, get you home at a decent hour. I know the time change and everybody's a little bit off. I understand that. I've been down here all afternoon. I haven't been home, so I'm going to let you get home. Let's start off with Psalm 103. But I want to mention now, I know we mentioned about the wedding shower on November the 7th, and that is coming right up here. That's hard to believe. I remember making that announcement, I think it's so far off. That's at 3 o'clock in the Children's Church room. Is that right, Miss Cindy? And then Brother Paul Childers will be here in the AM service. He is our missionary to Italy. That's Brother Childers' son. Some of y'all don't know. Brother Paul will be here. I think some of his family will be with him. Their family has literally grown here in the last weeks, and so I'm not sure who all is going to be here. But I think it will be a blessing for you to come that day. And then on November, we have in the bulletin November 15th, but I'm thinking we might move that another week and do that with Thanksgiving, because I want to be careful here. I want to make sure we're doing everything right. Y'all pray for me. I've tried to do the tightrope of being safe, but yet serving the Lord through this thing. It's not always the easiest thing, and so pray for us about that. In fact, this week now, we will be in school in person. Both counties are in yellow, so we're in person. And we are having school. I've had several people ask me about Election Day, because we go to 2:30, and so we think we'll be plenty of time. But we've never let off, that I know of, we have always had school, even on Election Day, since I've been here. I've had people ask about that, so I want to mention that. We do have an away ball game. It's the tournament. You know, usually we're all there together in the gym together over at Appalachian, but this year they've had to do it differently than it's ever been done that I know of, again, for years and years. And we travel, our middle school girls travel to Victory, and I think that game is at 6 o'clock, and that's middle school. I want to mention that to you, those involved in that. Another thing I want to mention, I got to thinking this morning, every church service, you know, there'll be somebody that comes back that I haven't seen for a while, or maybe somebody I haven't got to talk with or didn't get to wave at, and I'm so used to shaking hands. I feel like even when people are here, I don't get to speak to them. Some of them tune in. I haven't been able to talk to all of them. I've tried to make some visits, and several visits I've made, nobody's home during the visits. So I want to just say hello to everybody. And I'm glad you're here, and I love all of you. I'm going to start doing it every service. And I hope it's handshaking time, season comes back. I'm about ready to just do it, and then y'all just spray your hand off when I walk away. Amen. And I'll give you some spray. I mean, it's different time. We know this. But because people can be offended by that. And I never want to be offensive either way by shaking or not shaking. I kind of bumped elbows today with some folks just saying, hey, let's stay connected. That's going to be our new salute, you know. So we want to make sure everybody feels welcome. Visitors feel welcome. We want to make sure we do that. I want to begin tonight in Psalm 103. And I want to give you several passages of Scripture tonight. And I know that the last few Sunday nights I had talked about the silence of God. And sometimes that may come across as, man, that God is cruel or mean. But what I want to follow that up, and I know next Sunday we're going to have Brother Paul Childers be here. I think the next Sunday I'm going to have Brother Austin preach for us some, and we're going to have some different preachers preach, and y'all might be getting tired of hearing me preach, and I don't know. Y'all pray for us about all that. But I want to preach tonight in a devotional style, and I'm going to give you some verses. And we're going to flip through our Bibles a little bit. And if you don't like flipping through your Bible, you might could just write these down. It might be a help to you. But I want to speak tonight from the Word of God on the tenderness of God. The tenderness of God. I hear people speaking and talking about God and talking about the things of God in the Word of God and the people of God especially. And to hear them speak, you would think that God is mean. You may know folks in your family or maybe a coworker or something, that God is mean, or that God is cruel, or that God is harsh. In fact, there is whole debates and programs on by atheists about how harsh and cruel and merciless God is. But when I read my Bible, the Bible tells us something different about God. And I want to preach tonight on the tenderness of God. And what I'm really going to do is I'm going to give you what the Bible describes as God's tenderness. And then I'm going to give you just four thoughts. We'll spend most of our time looking at the verses and give you four quick thoughts to apply to your heart and life. I want to begin tonight in Psalm 103 and verse 13. Now, again, I'm going to look at these verses. We're going to kind of just pull them out of their context. I would encourage you to go back and read the verses around. I know I say that often. I'll say it again. Read the verses around the verses, because when you do that, you'll find that they're even stronger. That the whole passage and the whole chapter many times is very, very deep. And I want you to notice in Psalm 103 tonight and verse 13. I want to begin tonight. We're going to look at about seven of these. In the Scriptures that show us the tenderness of God. I want to say this to you tonight. Our God is a righteous and holy God, but He's also a merciful and tender God. And we have to show both sides of that. I want you to notice in Psalm 103, verse 13, where the Bible says this, like as a father, what is that next word? Pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Like a father pitieth his children. So we see, first of all, the Bible says that one of the pictures we have of the tenderness of God is that God is like a father that pities his children. You can take the toughest guys in the world and give them that little... In fact, I was at a funeral service today, and a little girl that I don't think she gives out many hugs, and for some reason, I don't know why, it made my day, she came up and hugged my leg. Melted me. And I'm a softy when it comes to them little girls anyway. And she came up and hugged my leg. And I said, oh, man, that's my pal from now on. And the Bible gives us a picture that the Lord pities us. Now, pity has a different connotation than tenderness and gentleness. But as a father pitieth his children, many times a father will take it easy, in a sense, on his children. There's a tenderness there. When most fathers understand, they love their children, and many times they know that they could do better, and they hurt for them, but they have a pity on them. We see that picture in Scripture. I hope you'll have your Bible and turn with me to a few more places. I'd like for you to go to the book of Isaiah real quickly. I've got these marked. I'll try to go quickly. I really don't want to keep you too long tonight. I'm so glad you're in church. But I want to turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. You know, the Bible, the book of Isaiah is a Bible within a Bible. It has 66 chapters in it. I love the book of Isaiah. It's a unique book. It's a hated book in some quarters. Isaiah 66, verse 13. And let's look at this verse. So as a father that pitieth, and then God don't leave the mothers out. Look at verse 13. And by the way, you could probably find a lot more verses. I'm just going to give you a few tonight. Look at verse 13. It says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now, the Bible says that God is a God of all comfort. You know, sometimes we act like God is mean or cruel or harsh, that he's sitting on a throne and waiting to just hit us in the head every time we mess up. In fact, I've even heard preachers sometimes will preach at it. Sometimes even well-meaning Christians will. And God is holy and righteous. He is, as C.S. Lewis describes him in Chronicles of Narnia, he is Aslan. He is a lion. But he's a lion that loves us. He is able to overcome death and hell for us. But here the Bible says that the tenderness of God is likened unto a mother. Look at verse 13. Again, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Now, I don't think there's anybody that comforts like a mom comforts. Now, again, I was going through this before I preached. I know we're living in a world where there's a lot of mothers that are different than they used to be. Let's just say that. But a normal, natural feeling of a mother or grandmother toward their children. How many of y'all know this? Food tastes better at mama's house. Right? You'll hear it, nothing like mom's cooking. Nothing like mom. And why is that? Why is that? I was convinced that Pepsi Cola tastes better at my mama Meta's house. I still would put my hand on the Bible that it does. And obviously it didn't. But what made it different? It was because of that comfort and that love and that feeling that you had there. Well, the Bible says here that the Lord is described like that. Now, some of you mamas, how many of y'all mamas here love your babies? Right? You love them. I mean, man, y'all get y'all mad at me if I say something bad about them babies. Look out. You think they're having more in the Middle East, honey. Say something bad about a mama's baby or their grandbaby, right? Now, that's why is it? Because we love. Now, think about this tonight. When it put it in your mind, as you love your children, are you going to comfort them? Man, you don't want them to get a boo-boo. You don't want them to get cold. You don't want them to get too hot. You don't want them to go hungry. I mean, everything has just got to be so-so because you love them. It comes from a good place, a natural place, God-given place, I think. Well, the Bible describes His love and tenderness toward us. Hey, can I say this tonight? I know sometimes in my own life, I don't think that I think of God as being tender toward me the way that maybe I would be to a child, the way that a lot of moms or grandmother or my mama has been to me. I don't think we think of God that way. In fact, can I say this tonight? I think Satan has done I don't want to say the word masterful job, but he has done a very deceptive job of making people think that God is cruel and mean and that somehow Satan is cool and he loves you and he's nice and the world is nice and it's only this mean, bigoted, horrible, horrendous God that doesn't love you. And that could be furthest thing from the truth. It could be the furthest thing from the truth. And so the Bible says here, not only as a father pitieth, but as a mother comforteth. And then another one, and this one's very well known. Would you take your Bibles, please, real quickly tonight and turn to Matthew. Turn to the book of Matthew real quickly. Matthew 23 and verse 37. I think that's right. Yes. Matthew 23 and verse 37. Here we see a picture. We're going to see a couple verses where the Lord uses the picture of the animal world. And God uses the animal world in Scripture several places. We see animals all through Scripture. I wrote a whole vacation Bible school on the animals in Scripture. It's a very interesting study, the animals in Scripture. I want you to notice in Matthew 23 and verse 37, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he uses the word in verse 33, serpents and vipers. God did do that. But I want you to notice in verse 37, drop down, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Now most of us, look, I'm not a farm animal expert, but I think most of us understand the picture here, that the tenderness of God. That's a tender picture of that hen gathering them little chicks. I mean, they're as helpless as they can be, and that hen's going to protect them. And there's a tenderness there. In fact, when you see that, when you think of a little chick, you think of something very tender. And God uses that picture. He said, if you would have come to me, I was going to protect you just as a hen. And I think the Lord, I, I, I thank the Lord tonight that He uses illustrations in Scripture that are pretty easy to understand. Charles Spurgeon has a whole series of sermons on the farm. Farm Sermons, it's called. It's a very famous work. And he goes through the Scripture and talks about God uses these pictures for us because we can understand that. And here's the picture: a father that pitieth, a mother that comforteth, a hen that gathereth. What a tender picture of our God tonight. And then I want you to notice, go back with me real quickly in Deuteronomy, all the way back to Deuteronomy, an often quoted book in Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. Here's the second animal one we want to look at here tonight. This is an interesting verse. Again, read the verses around it. But you know, the Bible uses the word eagle a lot. You see eagle a lot of times as a Christian school or college's mascot. And the reason is because an eagle is used in Scripture quite a bit. And look what it says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. It says, As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone, look, verse 12, did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And again, it says, make him ride on high places of the earth. And you can read the whole part there. Now, this passage is talking about God being, we have a God that is a jealous God. That eagle's, that mother, that flutter, she's getting those, she's protecting those, she's doing what's best for those little eaglets. You know, many times we don't like it, but many times some of the harshness or some of the things that we go through, in the animal kingdom we see this, and some of the things that God allows us to go through is so that we can get ready, so that we can be right. Brother Austin was talking about the honey badger. I don't know if you're familiar with the honey badger, but you know, they become immune to cobra bites and to scorpion stings. And that honey badger will take the little baby honey badger and will drop it down in a hole where the scorpions are at, and they'll right off the bat when they're tiny to get bit. That sounds cruel, but guess what? Later on in their life, when they go killing snakes, they're immune to that venom. See, the best thing sometimes that God allows us, God, why is He allowing me to go through these things? Why are things going so tough? And I'll be honest, I've done that before. I've been there. I've been there through the last 7 months. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? But as an eagle fluttereth, we see that picture in Scripture. Let's take our Bibles real quickly and go all the way over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, so we see a father that pitieth, we see a mother that comforteth, a hen that gathereth, an eagle that fluttereth. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, I'll give you a second. I know I'm asking you to turn around. It's good to flip through our Bibles a little bit, isn't it? How many of y'all thank God for the Bible tonight? And again, underline these, circle these, go back, write them down if you want to. It'd be a great study for you. But look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, but we were gentle among you. And of course, this is talking about, like in verse 6, it says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. You know, Christians ought to be gentle people. They're not gentleness in a bad way, but gentle in a godly way. We used to say gentlemen and gentlewomen, ladies and gentlemen. That's a Christian teaching. And it says here, but we were gentle among you. And look what it says, even as a what? Nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You can read the whole passage. But here we see the picture of a nurse. Now, when we think of a nurse in America, we think of, you know, the triage nurse, the emergency room nurse, the ICU nurse. And I mean, they're highly skilled and highly trained and highly educated. I mean, they're doing everything they can. And they basically, you know, our medical institutions are just, they're just the machine of that. We know that. But this is talking about the nurse in the sense of taking care of her children. In America, we would use the word maybe wet nurse, the nurse that is helping that child to develop and is gentle. You have to be gentle. Sometimes we'll have little Adeline at the house, and she's just a few months old, and her big brother come in, and we say, here's, we do this whole time, easy, easy. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like, easy, easy, easy. Got to be easy. We use that word because we understand you got to be gentle with those little babies. And here the picture is just as that nurse cherisheth her children, God is gentle with us. I really believe this tonight, church. I believe this. I've always believed this. And we're going to get to heaven and find out just how gentle God has been with us. It really appalls me sometimes as a Christian when I know how sinful I am and how wicked I am. And by the way, how sinful and wicked that I see the world is, and yet we will thumb our nose and hold up our fist against a holy and righteous and loving God. And I'm sitting there thinking, God's being awful gentle. He's being gentle with this world. He's being long-suffering to us. He is not slack concerning His promise. The Bible says that some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. And so here we see the nurse that shares it. Let's look at another one real quick. Everybody okay? Hang in there. We're all about done. Hang on. Hey, Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Go back in the Old Testament to Ezekiel 34. We see a father, a mother, a hen, an eagle, a nurse. And then we see this one through Scripture a lot. In fact, when you think of, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas time, as we think of Jesus Himself, we see this picture in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 12. Ezekiel 34 and verse 12. I'll give you a second to find it. Verse 11 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out." Look at verse 12. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Here we see the tenderness of God as a shepherd that seeketh. We know that Jesus uses this in the Gospels when He says the Lord will leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep. You may have seen the artist's rendition of that sheep that's on the shoulders of that shepherd. And it's a tender picture. And we are reminded, in fact, when we think of Jesus Christ, we think of His tenderness toward us. And I'm preaching this tonight. I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, and I understand that, but I'm preaching this tonight for myself and also for so many that right here in Summers and Mercer County, and I hear them. I've heard some of them even recently that act as if we've got a God in heaven that doesn't love us and forgive us. In fact, I even see us as Christians sometimes are forgetting that we've got a God in heaven that is tender toward us. Now, that doesn't mean that He's allowing sin. You know, it's hard for us. We want to be hard on sin. But let me say something to you. God is hard on sin, but He's also big on forgiveness. He does. He is righteous and holy, but He's also full of grace and mercy. And so that's the God that we serve tonight. And I want us to be reminded, I guess I'm reminding myself, that He's like that shepherd. And many of us tonight, thank the Lord, when we were astray, He came and picked us up. The world wouldn't always do that. Our friends, even sometimes our family members. And sometimes people give up on everybody. Aren't you glad tonight that God didn't give up on you? I sure am glad tonight. I want people to know that. That's the Christian message. The Christian message is that God is tender toward us, that He loves us and He wants the very best for us. Thank God for that tonight. Another one that I'm not as familiar with, but I want us to look at it. Will you turn with me real quickly to Malachi, or as one preacher said, Malachi. I love saying Malachi. I hope that's the right way to say it. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. I'm not as familiar with this, but I can see the picture of it. We see a father that pitieth, a mother that comforteth, a hen that gathereth, an eagle that fluttereth, a nurse that cherisheth, a shepherd that seeks, and then we see a refiner. And I want you to notice in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3, Malachi 3:3. If you're there, say amen. Now, I'm not an expert at how you do silver or gold. I know a little bit about it. I've studied some about it. But I think we can get the picture tonight, and I believe I'm correct in the assertion. Look at verse 3. It says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, if this was lead or steel or some other metal, you might could do it differently. But with gold and silver, you want to be tender and careful with it. I can imagine the refiner sitting there and making sure that not one drop gets out. You know, they put it under fire, they get the dross off, they have to be careful how they handle that. You can't just, I mean, there's a skill to, what is the word, metallurgy, there's a skill to that. And here we see, the Bible uses that picture, is that Jesus, that the Lord is tender toward us as a refiner that sitteth. That He is refining us, that He is, and He is tender. He knows how to, if you've ever seen somebody that maybe works with metal, I've seen people work on cars, man, they got a certain way they do, they can do their hand. Somebody maybe does sheetrock, they've got a way their hands can do, or somebody that's an artist, I mean, they can take their hands and make things with art. It's unbelievable, and they have an ability to do that. And here we see this picture of this refiner that sitteth. And again, I don't know the full ramifications, somebody could even expand on this deeper. But it has the idea that God is being patient and tender with us, just like we understand in our lives sometimes. We need to be patient and tender with others. And then the last one, and I like this one real quickly. Brother Austin, you'll probably like this one a little bit more than some of us here tonight. And that's Isaiah 62. You'll understand it when we read it. In Isaiah 62 and verse 5. Isaiah 62 and verse 5. I think I'm right. Isaiah 62, verse 5. When you're there, say amen. Give it just a second. All right, here we go. Look at what it says. It says, "For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." There is a tenderness here, the picture of this bride and bridegroom. I know there a few months ago we prayed for that one family over in on the other side of Mercer County, and they'd gotten married, I think, on Friday or Saturday, and the very next day one of them was tragically taken. It just broke my heart. I don't know the family, but we prayed for them. Because the picture of that bridegroom rejoicing over his bride, and the tenderness that a bride and a bridegroom have toward each other. And I've seen the pictures, you know, when that bride comes walking down. That tenderness, that togetherness, that sweetness. By the way, that's what it ought to be. There's something special about that. I mean, look, you have a favorite. You may love other people, but there's something special about your spouse. That's what it's supposed to be. And there's a tenderness there. There's a tenderness that's only going to be for that one. And that's the picture. And it says here that the Lord says, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I mean, it is a special picture in Scripture. And by the way, we see that in Scripture. The church is likened unto the bride of Christ. And there's supposed to be I know we've messed it up in this world, and we've got people all over the place with that. I understand. But that's the picture that God gives us. And so we see here several places of the description of the tenderness of God. And aren't you glad tonight? Because we live in a rough, how many of y'all know this? We live in a rough world sometimes. Hateful, mean, gruff. I mean, just unbelievable stuff happening. None of us will be surprised what happens Wednesday after this election, either way it goes. None of us will be surprised at not only this election, but what about, I always think about this, okay, what about 4 years from now? And 8 years from now? What about in the midterms? What about if we figure out that we might want to get right with God no matter who the politician may be? We might want to do that tonight, amen? I want to give you four things, and we'll go home. When we think of this tenderness, I think there's some things because of the tenderness of God. Let me give you these. Number one, don't believe the lies of Satan. I'm really concerned tonight. I think most of us know people that they really think that Christians and Christianity, church, Baptist, God. Now, you might be right about a fellow person. Sometimes those people are not where they need to be. But don't believe Satan is a, y'all know this, he is a master at deception. And he would have us believe that God is not tender and kind and not loving and not full of love. The Bible says God is love. He would have us to believe that somehow, and y'all know this tonight, we live in a world where those who are doing right are kind of pinned that they're the bad guys. What? We're living in a country tonight that has ostracized our police force. Law and order. Preachers. It was in America that if your son got called to preach or your family member went off, they went and supported them, they prayed for them, they did everything. Said, oh man, let's lift them up. Now, hey, you walk in the room, you might be your persona non grata. Now it's a different, y'all know this. Y'all remember when if somebody was a teacher in a classroom, they were looked at with respect and honor and dignity, and you said, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And what happened to us? Y'all know this as well as I do. And Satan has said, that teacher, that policeman, that preacher, by the way, it don't matter. It could be the business owner. We've learned that. Whoever it is that's got any authority over you, they are your enemy. And the truth of the matter is, it's the complete opposite of that. And Satan would have us to believe that God is our enemy. And he doesn't love you. He don't know what you're going through. Here, do this. This will help you. It's an unbelievable thing to think about tonight. It is crazy world in which we don't believe the lies of Satan. Number two, right, if you're writing things down, don't believe the cries of the world. Don't believe the cries of the world. If we watch Hollywood and the news and the reports and the documentaries, and the other night I thought, well, I'm gonna educate myself a little bit. There was a professor, and I was watching him. He was going to talk about the founding fathers, and he got about two sentences in. I'm like, oh, he hates the founding fathers. Wrong video for me. And I knew right then, I was like, oh, no. And I thought, how many people don't understand enough history to catch that? Don't believe, the world has us to believe. They would have you to believe, for example, we see this in our community, our area, our culture, your family, my family, that we're all going to heaven, we're all just going different ways, and all religions are good and everything's good and everybody's not religious is bad. Let me say something to you tonight. That is not true. We're all not going to heaven, just going different ways. That is a lie. In fact, not only is it a lie from the Christian perspective, but none of those religions are telling that either. They say, I don't know why they're telling that. We don't believe that way. And so don't believe the cries of the world that somehow God is not loving and God is not kind and that Christianity is bigoted and bad. And I mean, I've heard everything that, you know, Christians say. I've had people literally tell me, say, well, I know your church really don't like women. I'm like, hello? Have you been to our church? I've heard that y'all don't want this color. I was like, do you know me at all? Do you know us at all? You see, Satan would have us believe that tonight. And by the way, there are websites and document all kinds of stuff made about, and it's all about saying how bad God is. And I submit to you tonight, we've got a God in heaven that's tender toward us and loves us. In spite of ourselves. Number three, real quickly. Don't believe the lies of Satan. Don't believe the cries of the world. Hey, don't believe. How about this one? And this one's a little tougher. Don't believe the deceptions of your own flesh. When you read these verses, it's a reminder to us, and I'd encourage you to go back and read, because sometimes we buy into it. Sometimes we don't mean to, but we're weak like everybody else. We don't mean to, but we sometimes say, now, God, I know you, here's what I do. Can I confess this to you? Y'all all right? I say this, Lord, I know your word says you won't put on me more than I can bear, but I must be able to bear more than I thought. Because I'm struggling here. I need to lock in my hubs, and I thought it's already locked in. I mean, man, I need to get the chains out or something here because I'm spinning in the snow. And Lord, I'm loaded down. And Lord, I don't know if I could take another ounce on these shoulders. Lord, I need you, Lord. And sometimes if we're not kept, by the way, you said, well, that's you really think it's going on. Hey, the reason our churches in America are hurting is because people think that about God. They think, well, I've tried that, and it just ain't working for me. I've had people tell me, well, that just really wasn't for me. And what they're really saying is that God did not fit the way I wanted him to do, what I needed from him. And sometimes our own flesh can be the biggest enemy that we fight and we face when it comes to the tenderness of God. By the way, who are we to question God anyway? Who are we to do that? I know I'm talking to the crowd that doesn't do that, but just to be a help to you tonight. And then lastly, let me say this. Just trust the Word of God. Sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I can't see it. I don't understand it. I think I've had people ask me about this pandemic, and I've had people ask me about election and riots and everything that's going on, and you know, all being safe and what to think about. Hey, look, I don't have all the answers to everything. I've had people come to me about some situation in their life that, to be honest, when I hear it, it breaks my heart. I'm like, man, no wonder they're out of church, or no wonder they're frustrated, or no wonder they're about ready to throw in the towel. No wonder. In fact, when I hear it, I'm like, well, I'm going to throw it in with them. It's frustrating, and it's aggravating, and it hurts us. It hurts me. It hurts you. But sometimes we have to look and say, you know what, despite what it looks like. Now, let me say this to you. I'm not saying this is always easy. There's been times when I've been so frustrated or so hurt or so aggravated and think, Lord, why are you allowing me to go through this, that when I saw my Bible sitting there, I was like, I don't even want to pick it up. Lord, I know I need this, but I don't even want to hear. I don't want to hear a message. I need to just walk away as if God's not going to hear me or see me or speak to me. But sometimes we're that way. And if you read the Scripture, you'll see that even God's own people, especially in the Old Testament, many times they just say, well, we don't want to be around. In fact, Romans chapter 1 says, neither did they like to retain God in their knowledge. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Now look, I'm talking tonight. I think sometimes we put man-made rules and traditions in place of Spirit-led and God-led and Word-led lives. We've got to make sure it's what God's Word says, not what some person says, not what some tradition says. I'm an independent Baptist, but the independent Baptist did not die on the cross for me. My Savior died on the cross for me. I'm an American. I love America, but you know, Uncle Sam didn't die on the cross for me. Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe some of these things wholeheartedly and strongly, but we have got to get back. Whenever we get to, like, Lord, where's the tenderness at? Sometimes our Christian walk is almost like a motor that don't have any oil in it. And it's just, everything's just a grind and a fight. Everything is just full of just constant confrontation. The last few days I have watched people just be, you can just see the animosity. I think in the last few months we've just seen this constant, and we've got to remember tonight, we have a great opportunity tonight, church. We have a great opportunity to show a lost and dying world around us, our friends and neighbors, our loved ones, sometimes our own family members, what it really means to serve a God in heaven that loves us, and even in the midst of struggles and trials, He is still tender toward us, and He's still a kind and loving God. What a mighty God we serve tonight. Let's trust His word. Let's all stand together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You tonight. I thank You tonight. I praise You. We thank You for Your precious word tonight. Lord, I pray You'd help us to look to Your tenderness. Help us to live in that. Maybe somebody tonight, they feel condemned, or they feel controlled, or they feel judged, or maybe somebody just, they feel like they've had so much on them. I think many of us can feel that. And if not tonight, they could at some point. I pray You'd help them tonight. Help me tonight to look to You, to trust You, and believe in You. And Lord, I thank You tonight. I just want to praise You for Your tenderness toward me. You've been so good to me and so good to us in this building. And we praise Your holy name for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Austin, let's sing. Well, praise the Lord. Let's close out the word of prayer. Brother Bill, would you mind to close us out with prayer? Miss Cindy, you said you need to meet with a couple of ladies if they can.
I'd like to do food for Kim.
Sister Miss Kim.
Wait for a few days.
Okay.
If
they'd like to volunteer. I don't know if everybody heard that or not, but if you'd like to do that, if you have to run. Cameron's volunteering. He's doing good tonight. Amen. It might be good. You never know. Amen. But If you like to help, if you have to run, have to leave, you can just send a message or whatever, right? If maybe somebody's listening, like to do that. I want to ask the Lord's blessing. Brother Bill, if you would. Yes.